And welcome to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and today joined in studio here for the first half of our program by Dr. Stephen Higgs from the Biosecurity Research Institute. He is the director there. Dr. Higgs, good morning. Glad to have you.
Good morning, Brandon. Great to be back again.
Yes, we're glad to have you. Second time I've gotten a chance to speak with you here. All set for Christmas, are you?
I'm as set as I can be at this point. I think I've got most of the presents bought and the cards are in the mail.
Very good. Well, looking forward to the holiday season here myself. Today we're going to talk a little bit about some different topics here. One that's a little topical in the news. It is December, and just in front of the deadline to get that Farm Bill passed, the 2019 Farm Bill was passed this week by the House and Senate. Anything in there in particular you were pleased to see?
Well, there were lots of things I was pleased to see, Brandon. There's a lot going on in Washington, and it's some really good things going on. And that Farm Bill being passed and hopefully being signed by President Trump fairly soon is a great thing. Everybody refers to it as the Farm Bill, but its official name is the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018, and we're here to help that improvement. As you know, both of our senators, Senator Pat Roberts and Senator Jerry Moran, have really been very involved in providing input and support for that. They seem very, very pleased with the bill, from what I've heard. And frankly, if they're pleased, you know, it's good for our country and it's good for Kansas. That bill seems to have been embraced by pork producers and the Cattlemen Institute, and I think Dave Lewis said that Dan Thompson was on later after me. I'm putting you on the spot, Dan, if you're listening to this, but we're friends. He's a true expert on beef cattle production, and maybe he'll have some comments on how this Farm Bill improves things for all of us. Looking at things, every time that Senator Roberts talked about this Farm Bill, he noted the importance of predictability and certainty, I think, was what he was saying, and that's for American farmers and ranchers, and that's also for the people. We all eat. We all depend on agriculture. We tend to take these things for granted, but we rely on our agricultural industry. As you know, the Biosecurity Research Institute is actually housed in Pat Roberts Hall, and that reflects his lifetime commitment to agriculture. We got great links there.
All right. Yeah, the Farm Bill, there was a lot of uncertainty whether or not that was going to get passed in time. I think a lot of people thought it would get done here because it's too important to put that off here because many things are tied into that.
That's right. So it's $867 million over 10 years. There are some specific things that are relevant to Kansas State's Biosecurity Research Institute. Part of the Farm Bill, it mentions collaborations with land-grant colleges, universities, and obviously K-State has got significant expertise in that, and a lot of relevant research, education, training is based at the BRI.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how do you think you guys will stand to benefit right away from this?
You never know whether it's going to be immediate, but certainly there will be grant funding opportunities for, research, education, and training. That Farm Bill deals with plants and animals. USDA Secretary Perdue, so he's tasked with developing strategic plans that's going to include grants to develop tools, technologies that will involve academic institutes, K-State, industry, and government partners as well.
I know one of the things I think I saw in it was the fact that hemp will be able to be used as an agricultural commodity, and I don't understand how that works here exactly.
I confess I have no expertise on hemp either. That's not something that's been part of my life or my lifestyle. So I did see that, and certainly when I go to Colorado to visit family there, it's a robust industry, to say the least. But I'm not sure how that's going to pan out here.
No expertise there.
Yeah. No.
Well, as far as the other things tied to the farm bill? Is there anything else specifically you saw there?
Yeah, one of the things I saw where there was a section entitled Agricultural Genome to Phenome Initiative. That's looking at improving our understanding of genetics of plants and animals to achieve sort of sustainable, secure agricultural production. It includes genetic approaches to reduce the economic consequences of pathogens. Basically, research at the BRI do all this sort of stuff. And, you know, we have people working on animal and plant genetics. We have Bob Rowan from the College of Vet Medicine in Diagnostic Medicine and Pathobiology. He's looking at pig genetics and African swine fever virus. And then we have a very active group from the College of Agriculture, plant pathology. We've got Barbara Valent and Jim Stack, who are working on wheat blast. They've been doing that project since 2009. That's been an absolute flagship project for the Biosecurity Research Institute. It puts K-State, you know, really in the spotlight for this very, very important pathogen. Hardly anybody else works on that. I've told you before, Jim Stack or Barbara would be great to talk about that. This is a pathogen that originates in South Central America. It can absolutely devastate wheat production. I mean, when I say devastate, you know, kill your whole crops, 100% crop losses. It has been kind confined to that region of the world. We've been working with it safely and securely for almost 10 years now here at K-State. We've got funding. Jim and Barbara have got funding from, for example, the Australian government. They're concerned about this pathogen, but they won't allow it even into their high containment facilities anywhere in the country. And yet, BRI has been doing the work successfully all those years. It's a pathogen that has got into Bangladesh and India over the last couple of years. Really, the only measures is you burn your crops to try and get ahead of it. So not, I mean, terrible, devastating losses. So it's something that, you know, we just can't afford to have into this country, and are doing very active research to identify resistant crops and so forth. Mm.
That's so interesting to hear, because those pathogens, I'm sure there have been pathogens for years, but we keep finding new things here that cause them.
That is true. We have a number of new pathogens every year. On the animal side of it, most of those new pathogens come from other animal species. They're what we call zoonotic, so they infect wildlife, and then they can also infect people. So over 60% of the new emerging ones are these zoonotic. A lot of them are viruses.
All right, again, we're talking with Dr. Stephen Higgs, director of the Biosecurity Research Institute here. I have in my notes here that you want to talk a little bit about weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we're covering a range, aren't we, today, yeah. Brendan? So another thing that was happening in Washington is President Trump has just signed the National Strategy for Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Terrorism. And obviously, an awareness of terrorism is something that is discussed all the time. This strategy includes denying terrorists access to materials, detecting plots, strengthening America's national defense against weapons of mass destruction and terrorism. And we don't do any weapons research at the BRI, but we work on agents that have been or could be weaponized and potentially used against us. Our emphasis is on detection technologies, diagnostics, and then countermeasures, you know, things like vaccines and developing plants which are resistant. So I wrote one thing down here. This was from the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 2015. He said that nuclear, chemical, and biological agents pose uniquely destructive threats. They can empower a small group of actors with terrible destructive potential. And You know, these are small agents that have massive potential to devastate our agriculture. And, you know, the part of the reason for the BRI being at Pat Roberts Hall is that Senator Roberts went to a facility called Obelensk in 1999, I think it was, and he saw the sorts of facilities where tens of thousands of people were working secretly in Russia to produce some of the agents that we're still concerned with today. So he's seen this firsthand, and he's one of the reasons why he's so supportive and contributes so much to agriculture.
It's hard to think that that could be used against us here at some point. You know, that there could be a bio attack of some sort, but you guys are always kind of monitoring stuff like that.
Yes, we are. I actually gave a seminar presentation last month to the Agricultural Bankers Conference on agroterrorism. Not to frighten people, but mm-hmm. just to increase awareness. A lot of these things, being biological, are out in nature. They're part of nature. You know, it's not like the chemicals and the radiation that we think of as weapons of mass destruction. I mean, they're obviously important, but the biological agents would be easier for terrorists to get hold of and have very, very long-term impacts. If these agents get into natural transmission cycles, they could be established for many, many years in the United States if they were introduced. And that doesn't just kill animals and plants and obviously affect home economy and ability to feed our people, but also has a tremendous impact on our ability to do trade internationally. So devastating economic consequences as well.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back, have more with Dr. Stephen Higgs here from the Biosecurity Research Institute at K-State. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.